Today is the third Sunday of Lent. It is also the feast day of St. John of God. So the second oration, seeking the post-communion, you find in your missals on his feast day today, March 8th. The Lenten devotions continue March 13th, 20th, and 27th, the last Fridays of Lent. There will be their Lenten devotions, and there'll be a dinner. There'll be Mass, of course, at 6 p.m., followed by dinner, and devotions at 8 p.m., that is, Stations of the Cross, a sermon on the Lenten subject, and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. So please do make every effort to be here on Friday evenings, only three more left of Lent. If you're able to help with the dinners to help them make a success, please call Jane Hovestad. Her number is in the bulletin. Also next Sunday, the Sodality of the Immaculate Heart and the Junior Senior Class Council will host a St. Patrick's Day breakfast and bake sale. So please join them after Mass next Sunday for the St. Patrick's Day breakfast. If you're able to contribute any baked goods for the sale, please email Sister Mary Cabrini. Her email address is in the bulletin, or call the school office this week. All proceeds will benefit the high school Sodality and the Junior Senior Council. So again, that's next Sunday, March 15th, St. Patrick's Day breakfast. Also, we have also started our $10,000 raffle. It is, of course, for the new school. All the proceeds from that will go for the new school. It's $1,000 prize to the one who sells the winning ticket. And, of course, we do sell the tickets throughout the country. Our priests take the tickets to our other missions around the country, and they're very helpful, they're very supportive. They always want to support good Catholic education and all the work that the sisters do. So please do take a ticket and go out to your friends and acquaintance. And if we have just 300 people sell one ticket, we will be able to make the complete proceeds of the $30,000 towards the new school. So please do help out this fundraiser. Also, in the charity of your prayers, I please ask you to pray for the repose of the soul of the mother of Mr. Arthur Perazzi. His mother just died this past week. Her wake will be at the Branch Funeral Home in Smithtown. That will be tomorrow from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 p.m. The rosary will be at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. That's at the Branch Funeral Home in Smithtown. And Mrs. Perazzi's funeral mass will be here Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. So wake tomorrow at the Branch Funeral Home in Smithtown and the funeral mass here at 10 a.m. And if you kneel down now, we'll pray for the repose of her soul.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. The eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The epistle according to be read for the third Sunday in Lent. It's taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be ye therefore followers of God, as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and has delivered himself for us an oblation and sacrifice to God, for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as become the saints, or obscenity, or foolish talking, or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand, that no fornicator, or unclean, or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, and justice and truth and the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, "He cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overtake him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd lifted up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, Lord, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the Gospel today tells us how great the anger of the devil is against those who, by means of good confessions, have driven him from their hearts. The same ones must be constantly watchful of their emotions and their passions, the emotions of their hearts, for fear that the devil might induce them to commit the same sin again, which would put them in a worse condition than they were before they went to confession. For that is the meaning of the Gospel. The devil goes back and sees the house garnished and swept and cleaned and furnished. The soul in which he left is inviting him back by committing the same sin willfully. And therefore he brings seven more wicked spirits than himself, and he dwells again in the soul. And that man's condition becomes worse than the first. Well, with the intention of guarding us from this evil, Holy Mother of the Church gives us penances when we confess our sins. These penances they're given to us for a double purpose. Firstly, to give a certain satisfaction to the divine justice which we have offended by our sins. And secondly, to keep us from committing the same sin again. But we must remember and be aware that there's always some suffering that we must go through, either in this life or purgatory, even if we have performed the penances imposed upon us by the Church, because these penances do not begin to compare with the maliciousness of sin. And because, however, our divine Lord wishes us, as soon as possible after death, to take part in the bliss of his holy presence in heaven, he offers us, through the representatives of the Church, very easy and sufficient means, an efficacious means, to avoid the sufferings after death. The means offered to us are the indulgences which we can gain so long as we are here on this earth. Indulgences are the alleviation and complete remission or temporal remission of all the temporal punishments incurred by sin, which we have to perform either in this life or in purgatory. And since Holy Mother of the Church has made these so available to us, we should understand what they are, where they are obtained, and what is necessary to obtain them. We know that the church has the power to grant indulgences and forgive sin. This is found in the words of our Lord to St. Peter. He says, "And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven." The power that the priest has in the sacrament of confession. The church not only has the power to impose upon us penance for our sins, but she also can shorten the time of suffering that we may have to undergo in purgatory. We all know there are two kinds of sin. There's mortal sin and venial sin. It is a dogma of our Catholic faith. It is a fact that one will be damned to hell if one has the misfortune to die in the state of mortal sin without obtaining pardon for it. There are many in the world today say that God is not so cruel, that God is not so merciless as the priest said he is. And even if a soul does go to hell, eventually God is so good that he will take all men to heaven. This would be a great injustice. And the fact remains, those who die in unrepentant mortal sin go to hell for all eternity. One mortal sin deserves eternal punishment. Well, after having duly confessed our sins and received absolution for the guilt of our sins, there still remains for us to undergo a punishment for them, either in this world or the next. When we compare the amount of penances which is laid upon us with the burden of our sins, there seems to be no comparison between the two. Something has to be done which may help us in giving satisfaction to the divine justice. It is true that in this life, God gives us the opportunity to help expiate for our sins. Through the hardships of life, the troubles of life, our sicknesses, the slanders that may happen against us, the loss of worldly possessions, we can all use these, if we are prudent enough, to offer them up to Almighty God for the purpose of expiating for our sins. And since the foundations of the church, a penance of a certain amount was considered necessary for satisfying the divine justice for sin. When in the early days of the church, a sinner who gravely transgressed the law, wished to become reconciled again to God, had to appear before the bishop. He had to appear before the bishop, barefoot, in ragged clothes and ashes upon his head, and then confess his sin in public. And then he had to pass through different degrees of penance. After the confession and repentance of his sins, the sinner was obliged to remain kneeling outside the door of the church because he was not considered worthy to enter into the sacred portals. And while he was kneeling outside the church, he begged the faithful for their prayers. Then after this degree of penance, the sinner passed to the second degree, which was of the weeper. That is, the so much self-abasement and remorse were so great by the sinner that those who saw him were heart-rendered, and they began to weep at his penance. And after this, the sinner was allowed to take his place by the door to hear the instructions given to the congregation. But as soon as the instructions were finished, again, he had to retire outside the church and could not partake of the prayers of the faithful. Then after further time of penance, the sinner was allowed to assist the holy sacrifice up to the gospel. But then he had to leave, still being unworthy to be present at the sacred mysteries. And before he left, he would lie prostrate in the aisle, and the faithful would pray for him. And at the end of the time of penance, received the absolution, after which he was allowed to take part in the prayers and the holy sacrifice, yet for a considerable time, he was barred from receiving Holy Communion. And during the whole time of penance, he had to stay away from all the public functions and the ceremonies of the church. There are other examples for sins. For the irreverent mentioning of God's name, even thoughtlessly, they had to live on bread and water for 7 days. And if the sin was repeated, to live on bread and water for 15 days. For blasphemy against God and the Blessed Mother, the saints, one had to remain kneeling before the church, barefoot with a rope around their neck, and had to fast for 7 Fridays on bread and water, during which time they were not allowed to enter into the church. These are the severe penances given in the early part of the church, the early part of our own Catholic Church. We see how the church in the early days acted against those who wanted to gain eternal life and yet had committed serious sin against God. But my dear faithful, today, Holy Mother, the church no longer imposes such hard penances, although our sins are no less wicked as offenses against God. It shows just how good God really is and how He desires our salvation. He gives us indulgences in place of the severe penances, which we do not have the courage nor the strength to carry out. What happiness for us now as we live in this world. For we are able to save ourselves by a few prayers and actions from possibly hundreds and years of suffering in the next. But from where do the indulgences come? They come from the overflowing merits of our Lord upon the cross, from the Blessed Virgin Mary, and from the saints who did not have to, who suffered more, and they did more penance than was necessary to expiate for their sins. This is the inexhaustible treasure which the church divides among her children. These indulgences, the remission of the punishment which we have to undergo for our sins, even after they have been pardoned in the sacrament of penance. And to understand this more fully, we learn the relationship between the offense and the punishment. Offense is the wrong that we do when we sin, and for which we deserve punishment. And to cleanse ourselves totally from these sins, first of all, we have to confess our sins in the sacrament of penance and be absolved of those sins. And then we can gain our indulgences. Because after confessing our sins, we have to do more penance than what the confessor gives to us in confession if we wish to avoid the fires of purgatory. Yes, the sins are forgiven, but there is still temporal punishment due to sin. We are told from sacred scriptures that the saints, though they were sure of forgiveness, they received the obligation from God to do penance. We see that in King David, who did great penance for his heinous sins. We see that in the saints of the New Testament. We see St. Peter, who denied Christ, who did penance for the rest of his life. So much so he cried for his sins that furrows became seen in his cheeks because of the tears that he cried in sorrow for his denial. How fortunate we are to possess indulgences to help us escape the torments of purgatory. My dear faithful, purgatory is not a comfortable place. There is a fire in purgatory, and it is a cleansing fire. Do not be satisfied with striving to get to purgatory. Strive to become a saint. Strive for heaven. Because if you miss purgatory, then you've missed everything. We should seek the light of faith. We should use the means which God has given to us to make sure our path to heaven. For instance, indulgences, every time we make the sign of the cross, worthily and with the words. And by the way, the sign of the cross is not in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The sign of the cross is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We call upon the Holy Trinity. And if we do that worthily, we say the words every time we do, we gain an indulgence of 100 days. If we use holy water when we enter the church and do the very same thing, it's a 300-day indulgence. For serving at the Mass, the servers, the altar boys, receive 3 years indulgence. For spending only 15 minutes of the 24 hours of the day in mental prayer, gains 5 years' indulgence, a plenary indulgence if done continually for the entire month. A plenary indulgence, of course, is received by the faithful who have the correct dispositions of soul without any attachment to sin. In true contrition for their sins, it removes all temporal punishment due to sin. What a precious grace this is for us, and yet is so little known and so little appreciated. How many souls there are in purgatory today who could have made use of the indulgences and they did not? Many short ejaculations carry grant 300 to 500 days indulgence. Piously invoking the holy name of Jesus is 300 days indulgence. Those who elevate, who at the elevation of the Holy Mass of the Sacred Host, who strike their breasts and they say, "My Lord and my God," privately to themselves, gain 7 years indulgence. Those who recite 5 decades of the rosary by themselves, 5 years indulgence. If it's said with others, at your family rosary, each member of the family gains 10 years indulgence. Praying the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, whether it's exposed or in the tabernacle, gains a plenary indulgence. And for those who visit the altar of repose on Holy Thursday or Good Friday and recite the 5 Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bees, and follow the one for the intentions of the Church, 15 years indulgence. For those who are present at Tenebrae on Wednesday or Thursday or Good Friday and meditate on the Psalms and upon the Passion, gain 10 years indulgence for each day that they assist. For those with a contrite heart make the way of the cross, gain a plenary indulgence as often as they make the sign of the way of the cross. A plenary indulgence also gained if they receive communion on the very same day. My dear faithful, we were praying the way of the cross on Friday, and we will have Mass at 6 p.m. before the Stations of the Cross this Friday. What a great opportunity to gain a plenary indulgence. But how do we gain them? We have to be in the state of grace. And we must do the works and the prayers authorized by the Church. And we also have to have no inclination to sin. No attachment to sin. Even willful venial sin. And that's all that's necessary. Some indulgences carry other conditions, such as communion within 8 days or confession within 8 days, such as the first Friday. But my dear faithful, we must admit, Holy Mother of the Church has certainly made it convenient and easy for her children to make use of the precious means of salvation. And since it is so easy, in even more reason, if not an obligation, for us to use the great means of indulgences. You know, when the devil has gone out of us by means of good sacramental confession, and if he attempts to attack us again and attempts to return to the place where he was, by God's grace, by our avoidance of sin, by the use of our indulgences, may then our state not be worse than the first, but rather may we be stronger and overcome him. May he find no rest, no water, and not a friendly abode in our souls. My dear faithful, continue to avoid sin and the occasions of sin, and make use of the gifts that the Church grants unto you. And may the devil find one thing in your soul, and one thing only: the love of God. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.